Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome into the Extra Innings Show here on KMOX. The Extra Innings Show is presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Cardinals fall in this one by a final score of 4-1 to the Phillies. I'm Joe Pott from Busch Stadium, and the Phillies and the Cards now will play a rubber game of this three-game series tomorrow afternoon. I actually want to give you a chance. We do have a little bit of time. I want to give you a chance here to hear some from the Cards starting pitcher today, because I mentioned this. It certainly wasn't best case scenario probably for Miles Michaelis, but I would certainly say it was much better case scenario. And if you heard the Cards skipper in the postgame show, in the network postgame show, he talked about how much this game looks different if a call goes another way in the first, and I agreed. Kyle Schwarber was at the plate, 3-2 pitch, and it caught the inside corner, the inside high corner of the strike zone, but Dan Iasonia called it for ball four. The inning goes on. Nick Castellanos doubles next pitch or next at bat into left center field. That brings in two Phillies runs, and that changes the whole complexion of this game as the Phillies get those two runs. They win it by a final of 4-1 here this afternoon. But let's let you hear from the Card starter, Miles Michaelis. He was asked what he saw out there, and he did have a lot of swing and miss today, a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, I threw a 1-2 fastball right down the middle to Castellanos there in the first. That's just the one pitch I need back. You know, that's a mistake that cost us a game right there. But I was able to kind of rein it in and go pretty smooth out there for the rest of the game.
Miles, a lot of calls didn't go your way necessarily in the first inning, but you're able to bounce back and post five after that or four after that. What led to the change, and how effective do you think you were outside of the zone?
I tried not to change much there, because I liked how I felt in the first. You know, I thought I was out of it. Going to those chase spots, you know, two strikes, being aggressive. I thought, my results were easily a lot better than last time out. But I felt good about it.
What's the difference between one? I mean, obviously you want to get away from block, but is there something that's different about the two?
I don't think a ton, no. I went back and looked. I made some okay pitches in Boston. They had hot bats. That was kind of tough, and a couple calls, kind of like today, a couple calls either way. Some pitches are close. They're when you're throwing pitches, on the corners, and you've got respected guys up there at the plate, that have a good idea of the strike zone. I know it makes it tough for umpires, and calling balls and strikes got to be the toughest thing in sports. That ball's coming in there pretty quick, and it's moving all over the place. And some of those calls go either way. You know, some of them go my way. You know, maybe it's a tighter game, but you just got to, you know. And then I throw a pitch right down the middle. So that's, you know, that's on me.
How repeatable was what you did today with the swings and misses, with the pitch and the chase?
I would like to imagine very repeatable, extremely repeatable.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, I you know.
I mean, like you just described it, like fortune bending.
It shouldn't be hard for me to, you know, not throw strikes, but I guess sometimes it's more difficult than you think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. Miles Michaelis after the game, and I do appreciate the one answer because, you know, we were saying the same thing. I was saying the same thing. The game obviously looks different if the call goes a different way in the first inning. It's the Extra Innings Show, by the way. It's presented by Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. And yes, it would look different if that pitch goes for strike three. The Phillies do not score two runs there in the first. Maybe they win it 2-1 anyway. But as he said, you still have to execute because those calls are going to happen. It doesn't matter at what point in time. There's going to be calls that don't go your way, which is exactly how he said it. He's going to get calls that go his way. He's going to get calls that don't go his way. I thought the pitch to Lars Nootbaar to end the seventh inning also was missed by Dan Iasonia. It looked like it was inside, but I have much less worry for a pitch like that. If you're Lars Nootbaar, you got to be ready on two strikes to hit there. You've got two on base. You feel like you're in a situation where you can bring in some runs or at least bring in a run, cut into that lead. So I'm worried less about that. The one to Schwarber, I thought he just plain missed. It was there. He missed it. And again, the game changes. But I do appreciate the fact that you've got to come back and execute, as Michael has said. And then he was asked by, I believe it was Derek Gould, asking him about how repeatable is this. That's the million-dollar question right there, right? Can you go out and do this again? And that goes back to what we were talking about in the pregame show. Are there options to make changes? Well, sure there are. There are a couple of young pitchers at Memphis that probably could come up here in McGreevy and Graceffo and be in that spot. But do you want to make that change 2 weeks into the major league season? And the answer is probably not. They are going to extend the rotation out a little bit. So you will see Steven Matz in the rotation next week. So they're just basically adding to it, but they're not ready to make any kind of big decision like removing Miles Michaelis right now and replacing him either with Matz or replacing him with somebody from Memphis. Not ready to make that, to pull the trigger on that just yet. What's on Deck is brought to you by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best, ChesterfieldFence.com. What's on Deck is game three of this three-game series, which comes your way tomorrow afternoon. 1:15, first pitch here at Busch Stadium. We're on the air with our network pregame show beginning at 12:20. Matthew Liberatore, 0-1 with a 5.8 ERA, will make his third start of the season. He'll go up against Zach Wheeler, who is 1-0 with a 3.44 ERA. It will be his third start of the season, as well as both teams are looking for a series win. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, the Cardinals are looking for their first series win against the Phillies since 2017. That'd be a nice way to finish off the weekend to get Zach Wheeler and get that series win. Big thanks to the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, to Rick Horton, Mike Claiborne, and Jim Jackson up in the booth here in Busch Stadium. Thanks to Daniel Hinkamp and Matt Rocchio back in the Camo X studio. I'm Joe Pott. Again, tomorrow, 12:20 is our pregame show along the Cardinals radio network. 1:15, first pitch as the Cardinals and Phillies get together. Keep it here on your home of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, Camo X.
Camo X Sports. This is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Sometimes you just feel it, you know what I'm saying?
You got to have that brightening mood.
Yeah, there's a Jack in the Box read that we have at like 6:15 Monday through Thursday that I slow it down. if you notice on the show, I slow it down. I really get into the French toast sticks.
I mean, you're like diving directly
and in. And let's get into this breakfast now. Let's break this down in the middle of like a weather forecast into traffic and all this important stuff.
I love behind the scenes, pulling back the curtains here.
You got to do it sometimes. Look, this is an exciting time of year, without a doubt, here in St. Louis. Things are starting to bloom. We have beautiful weather. We have sports going all over the place. This is a great, great time of year. Let me reset what we have going on today. So the Cardinals play at 1:15, 12:20. Let me get to a comment on YouTube. There's all kinds of stuff that pops up all the time on our comments. This one from Space, not actually from outer space, but the person's name is Space on YouTube, said, just for clarity, yesterday, the Cardinals had 5 double plays against them, so it didn't want so much their offense wasn't good. They just kept getting shut down all game. I think what this person is saying is it wasn't so much that their offense wasn't good. They just kept getting shut down all game. Well, isn't that the definition of the offense wasn't great? They got shut down. I mean, that's my whole point. I said they had 9 hits, but they didn't have any key hits, and that's the thing. So they scored 1 run yesterday, Space. And that's not good enough. It's all about scoring runs. But I appreciate the comment. I understand what Space is trying to say. I just wanted to put Space's comment out there. The Cardinals need some offense. I mean, they need some runs. And they had it early. I knew that was going to happen. I think we all did, that it was going to take a step back and things tend to normalize. Hopefully they can get it going here later today. Elsewhere, we have the Battlehawks. They are playing at 2 o'clock over at the Dome. People are already tailgating for that one. I know that. They gather all outside the Missouri Athletic Club and everywhere else outside the Dome to get ready for the Battlehawks. Anybody hitting all 3 today? I wonder. Comment on the line here, X or Facebook or YouTube, and let me know if you're hitting all 3. I doubt it. But if you are, that would be very, very impressive. And 6 o'clock is City. City takes on Columbus. That's where I will head tonight to go see St. Louis City SC. Lutz Vandensteel is going to join us in 7 minutes, the sporting director, to talk about their team. I'm hearing they practiced with a little more offense in mind, so we'll ask him what that looks like. And if he can pass along any injury updates, we would appreciate that as well. Tonight is the matchup, so we're not going to get the starting group just yet, but we'll find out when the time comes. Y98 has the broadcast for that. Final round of the Masters will get going in a little over 2 hours. 1:30 is the start time for Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau. Just an excellent pairing right there. McIlroy going for his first green jacket. That would complete a career slam. He has won the other majors, the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, and the PGA Championship. He has yet to win the Masters, and he is on the doorstep. 2-shot lead over DeChambeau going into this final round in Augusta. And as Dan Reardon just said on our air last hour, perhaps the most important round of his life will take place today. We also have kept an eye on hockey. So this table is set for the Blues to make the playoffs. They haven't yet. If San Jose beats Calgary tonight, if Calgary loses in regulation, it is over for the Flames. But the Blues have had a chance to put the Flames away. They've not been able to do it. Last night they gained a point, but they lost in a shootout to Seattle 4-3. So that sets up that scenario where they are up 4 points on Calgary with 3 games to go for Calgary and just 1 to go for the Blues. The Blues can lock it up. If Calgary wins tonight in regulation, the Blues need to win in regulation on Tuesday against Utah to drop the hammer on Calgary and make the playoffs. We will keep an eye on all of that, no doubt about it. And then there's just so much going on. I mean, what have we talked about so far here in the last 5 minutes? Baseball, football, hockey, soccer, and golf. And now you can add college basketball because the portal is very active. And we just had an interview with Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens, was with us last hour. On top of all that, you have NASCAR, IndyCar, of course, NBA. There's so much happening right now. And history awaits Denny Hamlin at Bristol Motor Speedway today. The Joe Gibbs Racing driver makes his 400th consecutive start in the Cup Series, 36th of his career at that little track in Bristol. It's a little over a half mile oval. And he has a circuit leading 4 victories at that short track. After consecutive victories at Martinsville and Darlington, Hamlin could become the winningest driver in Joe Gibbs Racing history and join teammate Christopher Bell by notching the 2nd 3-race winning streak this season. We'll see if he can pull it off. Nobody seems to like Denny Hamlin. He's like the, you know, evil guy. He's everybody's enemy. He's the villain of the NASCAR Cup circuit, but that's okay. You want a villain, do you not? You want a villain in sports, and that's exactly what he has become. Kyle Kirkwood is on the pole of the IndyCar Series, and he is looking at Long Beach today. That should be interesting. The streets of Long Beach, as Andretti Global stepped forward to make a statement by locking out the front row in qualifying for the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. That sounds like fun to be able to take all that in. I'd love to go to something like that. We have IndyCar coming to St. Louis Father's Day. That is what's happening at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Here in St. Louis, we have some major stuff coming. First of all, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. It happens every year, but they are moving it back just a bit. It is not in May now. It is in June. So go to WWTRaceway.com and you can check out the schedule for that. They have the IndyCar race on Father's Day this year. That weekend is June 14th and 15th. And as they like to say, it's not just a race. It is a spectacle. It's a wild festival, if you will. And they have NASCAR as well this year. So Worldwide Technology Raceway, their track schedule is very, very busy, and they have on their oval IndyCar, NASCAR, not to mention Formula Drift and all those other things that they have. But this year is a major, major event. They have the NASCAR Cup Series, the Enjoy Illinois 300, on Sunday, September 7th. It is a playoff race this year, so make sure that you have your tickets locked up for that, because that'll sell out. People are already scooping up tickets for that. September 7th, NASCAR. Weather is going to be amazing for the Enjoy Illinois 300. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some soccer. Lutz Fan and Steel, St. Louis City SC next.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
We are on FM now and AM. We still have the 1120 signal if you like the throwback sound, but we are 104.1 FM and it is rolling really well. Now, just down the dial, 98.1 FM, Y98 will have the game today, St. Louis City SC against Columbus. And joining us to talk about it is the sporting director for City, Lutz Fahnenstiel, is back on KMOX. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What about you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to the City game tonight. I'm excited about that. I have some friends in town, and we're going to go have a blast. My question is, how has the practice been this week? And I'm hearing that it was a little more offensive-minded. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely a good week of training. You know, I think it was a lesson learned from last week against Sporting. And I think this week we worked a lot on structural things when it comes to, get things together, play, I would say, as hard, as physical as we can. Let's not forget Columbus at the moment, probably the top team in the country, definitely a very difficult opponent. But, you know, I think we definitely want to give the fans a good show today. I think they deserve after having not scored for 3 games, they deserve a really good performance and a hard-working performance from the boys.
Without giving away strategy to the opponent, how do you get yourself into an offensive mindset? We know this team is good defensively, Lutz. I'm just curious how you do that generally in the sport. Do you try to take more risks? Does it take a gamble or two to get yourself free? How do you create more offense?
You know, I think you have to look at it from a what we have available, and it's basically we have the same, very similar squad than last year. So we do have attacking power. I think it's also very important that bringing in a new manager, it takes statistically around 10 games into the season till really everything falls into place and everything is gelled. I think Olaf Melberg did a great job by getting this defensive organization really spot on. We're still the team in the whole country which conceded the lowest amount of goals. And then you work in training, every day and every moment now to improve the smaller things. And, you know, it's sometimes just one or little tweaks in the setup, being a bit higher, making one or two changes. I mean, that's all tactical nuances which can change immediately momentum. And I think we have to look into the positives as well, what we had definitely in the start of the season. And I think that is what we have to build up on, but also look into the negatives, what happened that we just didn't score any goals in the last three games. There is a home game now, you know, at home we should be, I would say, pushing to be strong, pushing also to dominate. And yeah, as I said, Columbus will not be a pushover for sure. It's a top team. We are not the favorites, but I think that underdog mentality and that workhorse mentality always helped us in the past. And I think we are up for it.
And we've seen you before. We've seen you rise to the level of your opponent and take down some really good teams in the past. And this will be a big one here tonight. I think the crowd definitely will do its part. It's 6:00. They'll be rocking and rolling. I think that those night games are even better than the day games at Energizer Park. Lute said that no one would argue your defense. I mean, defensively, you have been terrific. What's been the key there? From my view, you just defend really well as a unit. It's not all about one person. This is a team effort for sure.
Yeah, it's organization, it's structure. Defending is not just the goalkeeper or the defenders or the defensive midfielder. Like, it starts actually with the attacker, how to really get into a pressing moment, how to close down the spaces. So even the strikers, they need to do defensive work. I think this is very important in professional football, and the best teams in the world have strikers who are not just standing up there waiting for the ball and score a goal and celebrate. They also need to do hard work against the ball. They need to be a member of the team. And I think that is definitely something very positive, what we built into our culture, to be just very difficult to break down by the opponent. But then again, you know, on the upside, we also need to be able to create more chances. And when we do get the chances, we need to score them. Like last week in Kansas, we had 3-4 fantastic chances, but we didn't score first, and then you get punished, and that is something we need to work on. Finishing, trying to get some good passing movements up front, make the right runs behind the defensive line, and trying to create, and trying to also, I would say, create the momentum to get the fans behind us and feel like there's 12 against 11 out there today.
You are going to be missing some people today. Berkey, for one, and then I count. Tell me if this is right or what you can comment on. Leuven, Nilsson, Totlin, Horn, and Durkin, right? All won't be able to play today?
Yeah, plus another one or two players which had long-term injuries. So, yeah, you know, we are basically eight men down, which is a big number. We are definitely, I would say, again, from the normal projected starting 11, we're probably six players down, which is always, it's tough. But then again, you know, you're having a depth in the squad, and the young players and the players who haven't played that much, they need to step up. We called up two guys, young players from City 2 as well today, with Mackay Joyner and Brendan McSorley, having two players up who really deserve it, to training with the first team a lot, and hopefully getting an opportunity to show themselves as well. But that is what it is, you know. We can't now we can't complain about injuries all day long. Yes, they are there, and we just have to find a way to make things work. Lots of the players are on the verge to come back, so they are not too far away now from 100% fitness, which will ease it in the weeks to come. But yeah, we are not lucky when it comes to injuries, but you know, sometimes we have to fight that. And I think attitude, mentality, hard work. You can cover that.
Is the timeline the same on Berkey? Is he healing up as expected?
He's healing up very well. So everything is exactly like projected. You know, it's not a muscle injury where you having sometimes little things can change it. It's a pretty straightforward thing in his hand. And I'm pretty confident that not too far away he will be back between the posts.
And how are you doing? I know that last week when we talked after the Sporting KC game, you admitted being really down about it. I mean, obviously, you don't like losing ever. But you sound with a little pep in your step here. I mean, I know these weeks, week to week, Lutz, it's not easy to be in your position or in any position.
You know, the transfer list is closing on April 23 in the first primary window, which is something we're looking at. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I sounded down. I just was pissed off, to be honest. I think which is normal, and it would be shocking if I wouldn't be. So that's something where you're letting it sit for 24 hours. You come back on Monday into the office and you sit down and you analyze what happened in this game, what was good, what was bad, and you have to look forward. You know, it's no point now to look back and cry all day long because we haven't scored in the last three games. Well, the only thing that we can do in change is to score a goal today, or score two, or score three, and it's very well will change again. Well, I would say the atmosphere around. I feel that. People getting anxious. I feel that fans are not happy, but that's expected. You know, we started well, and we had now the first dip of the season with three losses, and that's up to us now to work against that and get back on a winning track. And then people getting happy, and well, I mean, you know sports just as well as I do. It's all about winning, and you can't win everything. But what you can expect is that when you're out there on the field, you work your socks off, you work as hard as possible. And I think this is what people want to see and what people believe in. And I think this is a St. Louis sports culture. So at least always be present and try as hard as you can. And I think you get rewarded in the end of the day, Tom.
I agree. And I think that, you know, the energy, and this is the last thing, is that the energy in that place is always special. And whether it's things are positive, things are negative, or there's anxiousness or whatever it is, that place really pops when you get it going, and that could lift you further beyond this. But I always feel that when you walk in the place, there's a different kind of energy about Energizer Park. And I know I just threw your sponsor in there as well, but it's true.
No, I mean,
it's true.
It just works well. I mean, yeah. What do you expect? If it's called Energizer Park, there must be a lot of energy. So I think that fits very well together as well. So I hope that the boys are running today like the Energizer Bunnies, and then I think we have a good chance.
I think it's going to be a fun day. I'll be over there. I look forward to it. Always love walking through those doors. Have a great day today. We'll see you tonight.
Yeah, give me a wave. I come up to say hi.
I will. Lutz Vandensteel, great to hear from the sporting director for St. Louis City SC with us on KMOX Sports on a Sunday morning. The sporting director for City to the president of baseball operations of the Cardinals. John Mozeliak joins us live next from Busch Stadium. Cardinals and Phillies at 1:15. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
On 104.1 KMOX, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be with you. What a gorgeous day for baseball. Let's go to Busch Stadium. President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, is with us in his 11:30 slot here on Sports on a Sunday morning. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you. And the Phillies are in town, and you're going for a series win. This has been a hard-fought series so far. Let's go back to Game 1, a 2-0 win. Super impressive performance by Andre Pallante. He just takes the ball and says, I'll show you seven strong innings right here. That was really good.
It's always great to get a strong start after an off day because then your bullpen really benefits from that. So, that yeah, it was great to see. He was in command, had the ball on the ground, was in pitcher counts, wasn't finding himself in defensive counts. And so, yeah, it was just what you'd hope to see, and he did it. He executed.
It was some game, and I looked up, and Pedro Pajes was playing second base. I'm like, whoa, what just happened? How did that go down from your perspective?
Well, I had gotten word that Mason was experiencing a back spasm, so we knew that there was a possibility. And just, you know, trying to figure out really how to run your lineup throughout that game, I thought, you know, it's a very traditional, old-fashioned National League game from the past. And so I thought Ollie and his staff did a wonderful job on that. And, you know, the one thing I would say that most of our catchers kind of inherited from Yadier Molina was, and you know this, when our team's like taking batting practice or infield, Yadi was always an active participant in the middle of the infield. And I think he's really made our younger catchers realize that, you know, taking ground balls is a good thing. And you don't think you're ever going to get called into service in that particular case, but, you know, interesting enough, he did. And he made us proud because he did a nice job.
He did, and you won the ball game, and the Cardinals had the Phillies, who are a really good team, down for one day, and then Saturday showed up, and your offense has been quiet. You know, you lose that game to the Pirates, that gut-wrenching 13-inning game, mostly because the offense couldn't deliver. You got the two runs enough on Friday, but how did you see Saturday's game from that perspective? You had moments but weren't able to cash in.
Well, I think five double plays kind of speaks volumes in this particular case. So we were definitely getting runners on, but in this particular case, we weren't able to score. And, you know, in this game, that's what matters most. I always kind of like remind myself, it's not about the hits, it's about the runs. So you've got to get them across the plate. And when you create five ground ball outs that really end up being 10, and you only have 27 in a game, you know, that's over a third, so that's it's tough to have success that way.
Absolutely. What are you seeing in Wilson Contreras? Is he starting to turn the corner at all?
You know, I certainly hope so, but I think it's been, you know, a frustrating season. Here's a guy that was swinging a very hot bat in spring training and just entered the season with a lot of confidence, and then he's hit into some hard outs, but he's also, you know, not really where he needs to be from his swing standpoint. I know they're working on it hard, and I think he knows what he has to do, but he's, you know, got to consistently do it. And obviously, if we could have that bat that we expect to have, you know, that would definitely help this offense.
It hurt to lose Herrera, obviously. What's the latest on Yvonne's comeback?
You know, I spoke with him briefly this morning. He's encouraged about where he is, but you do have to be patient with this type of injury. If you go too fast, you could end up costing yourself a lot longer. So we're just trying to be smart about this, but you're right. I mean, he was obviously a key member of our offense prior to the injury. So definitely disappointing, but hopefully you remind yourself it's a long season and we get him back.
Mason's injury obviously was enough to put him on the IL. It doesn't sound serious, though. How is his back spasm situation?
The big thing is you can't go 4 or 5 days playing short. So ultimately, the fact that the position player IL's 10 days, it just made more sense to allow him to heal. And then I do believe we will get him back in short order.
That's John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, updating us here on KMOX about a number of things going on. And, you know, when I look at the Cardinals situation there when it comes to the IL and some players that have gone down, I look at the pitching staff. And this rotation right now, you know, I don't know what you think of the depth right now in Memphis and if it's, let's say, touchable. I'll explain what I mean. If I were to take Michaelis out of this rotation, he was better yesterday, granted. But after what I saw at Fenway, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know how much longer they can go. How is it way too early in the season to think about McGreevy? Because I asked Ollie about it, and he responded in somewhat that way, that this might be a little early to tap into Memphis.
Well, I don't think we need to. I mean, I certainly understand your fanboy frustration with Michaelis that day. I mean, I get it. But, you know, he has eaten a lot of innings over the last few years for the St. Louis Cardinals, and so I think we do have to be a little bit patient with him. Yesterday, I think it was one of his stronger outings, really, in the last few years. So, you know, you don't want to just make knee-jerk reactions just because one bad outing. Having said that, we are trying to get Matz in the rotation to go with a six-man just to give everybody a little bit of a breather as we are in the early stages of this season. And then in terms of how McGreevy's throwing and what we're seeing out of him in Memphis, it's very encouraging. But that's what you need is depth down there. And ultimately, you know, McGreevy will be up here at some point because that's just the nature of this business. And so all I would say is that, you know, it's our job to try to get the most out of what we have right now. And I was really encouraged with how Miles threw yesterday, and hopefully he's able to repeat that.
He was a lot better. The fanboy reaction. I get it. I'll admit it. I did not look at the long term as much as I normally do. Knee-jerk reaction. I saw him, you know, not missing many bats. But he's never really been that way. He's never been a miss bat guy. He's got to get the contact.
That's why yesterday was so encouraging because he was getting some swing and miss yesterday. He was getting strikeouts. And I think, you know, that is a very strategic thing they're working on downstairs. And to see him execute on it, that's what you hope to see.
Meanwhile, the Cardinals pushing forward with the Philadelphia Phillies today and Matthew Liberatore. What did you think of his last outing where he was able to recover and give you, what was it, 6 1/3?
Well, again, it's, you know, when you look at our rotation, all these guys have stuff. You know, when you put it on relative to, like, you know, some of the more elite pitchers in the game versus some of the more consistent pitchers in the game, if these guys can stick to a plan that they come up with, they should have success. You know, obviously the Phillies, it's a real lineup. It's a tough one. And so navigating that is always a challenge for any pitcher. But, you know, I think where Libby's at, you know, the reason he got put into our rotation was just the type of spring he had, the type of stuff he has, and we do think he's capable of having success. And so if he can maintain his strategy today and stick to it, I do think he can have success against a lineup like the Phillies.
And as we whip around the different parts of this team, let's close with the bullpen appropriately. And, you know, the bullpen, for the most part, you've had some pieces I think that you like. The Roycroft to Memphis in exchange for Munoz, let's say. What did you think of that? And I'll add on to that the emergence of Kyle Leahy and what you thought of him.
Yeah, a couple thoughts here. Obviously, Munoz stepped into a pretty high leverage situation yesterday and was great. Was able to get two strikeouts, and that was great to see. And touching on Roycroft real quick, you know, here's a guy that when you just look at him on paper, it's like a guy that you think should be a dominating reliever. But, you know, he finds himself where he kind of spins off the ball probably a little bit too much, finds himself in too many hitter counts, so he's falling behind. He's putting a lot more pressure than he needs to do. So he needs to get more consistent with his breaking stuff and his fastball, candidly. If he does that, you'll see him back here. But his stuff is great when he uses it properly, but he's got to get more consistent. And then in terms of Mr. Leahy, he was always somebody that we were excited about. You know, probably got him to the big leagues a little bit quicker than we probably in a perfect world, but that experience I think is paying off for him now, and it's been nice to see the contributions he's making. And you know, I'll speak on behalf of Dusty, our pitching coach, but you know, he really does love this guy. He thinks he's a real talent, and I do think you're going to see him in higher leverage situations as the season goes on.
I just got a text from someone that said, did Mo just call you a fanboy? And no, he didn't. He said fanboy react. He's saying that I reacted like a fan. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. And look, fans have, I understand that, but we have to look at through a set of lenses that isn't always the most popular, which is probably why I'm not the most popular at this job anymore. But like, those are the tough decisions. And, you know, you make commitments to players and you gotta give them a long enough runway to find out if they can make those changes.
Absolutely right. We appreciate you. Thank you for the time. Thanks for spending it with us as always on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you.
Cardinals going for a series win today against the Philadelphia Phillies. 1:15 start. When we come back, Bernie Miklas joins us to wrap up the hour. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be with you, and always great to be joined by my friend Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. How are you, Bernie?
I'm doing good, man. Looking forward to watching Cardinals baseball, and then I will have, when I have the Masters on, I'll probably be listening to the radio feed, KMOX 104.1. Looking forward to a great day of sports, Tom Ackerman.
Atta baby. I'm heading to the City game tonight to cap it all off. Went to the Frozen Four last night. It was cool to see all the fans milling about downtown. Downtown has some life right now, Bernie. It's good.
I just love it when big NCAA events are here. And, you know, for a while there, like the NCAA tournament was, St. Louis was getting something, you know, either a regional or like the first two rounds. It seemed like every year, I'm exaggerating, but I don't remember, but it I would say three out of every 4 years. And I kind of miss those days because you use the phrase fans milling around downtown. And that's the thing that's awesome about it. It's a lot of people downtown. It's good for business, but also just to see everyone dressed in their team gear, whatever it is, it's colorful. You know, everyone's in a good mood. Everyone's fired up. I mean, it's just a fun thing to see on the city landscape.
Occasionally, I'll get John Mozeliak fired up. I don't know if you caught the last segment, but when I mentioned that my thought after the performance at Fenway on Sunday night was, how long can they keep Michaelis in this rotation? He said, well, your fanboy reaction was blah, 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 blah. I guess he can say that after Michaelis pitches better on Saturday, and my phone starts blowing up during the segment. So I told him on the air, I said, people are saying, did you just call me a fanboy? And I said, no, what you said was I was reacting like a fan. It was an interesting reaction from Mo. Look, Mo and I have known each other a long time, so I don't take offense to it. It's totally fine. But I think this is him kind of slapping back at everybody who wanted to throw Michaelis out of the rotation, including me.
You know, well, John Mozeliak can say whatever he wants, right? And I'm glad that he's on KMOX Sports on a Sunday Morning every week. And I commend all of your regulars who run teams or coach teams or whatever. But the fact is, you know, Miles Michaelis, statistically, over the last three seasons, if you go by ERA rate, he has been a bottom five starting pitcher in the major leagues. So, you know, I appreciate the way he pitched yesterday. I truly did. You know, I was better. I thought he got some bad breaks with the strike zone. So no one's rooting against Miles Michaelis, but for anyone to sort of see that, including Mo, that it's people that say, well, you know, the Cardinals can do better in their rotation. and to be called a fanboy, that's you know, kind of unfair considering there is an overwhelming body of evidence that says Miles Michaelis has not been very good at all since the start of the 23 season.
It's funny because, you know, well, I'll move on, but we could sit here all day and talk about that. I think just overall, this baseball team here is going to go through this all year. I mean, it's just not, look, the offense is what it is. We said it last week. I said it on Monday that it's just not going to go that long like this.
No.
You know, it's going to regress, and it has. It just is what it is. The pitching is going to go through ebbs and flows too, Bernie.
Yeah, and I was looking at some numbers, you know, in advance of being on with you, and the Cardinals have already gone into this cycle, which is not unexpected, where you can't get the offense and the pitching synced at the same time. Like, for example, the last five games, the starting pitching and the pitching the last five games has been totally outstanding. Like today, Libitor will complete the third cycle of this rotation. And going into today, the third cycle has a 1.57 ERA. You can't ask for anything better than that. But in the second cycle of the rotation, the second turn through, they had a 0.48 ERA. The first time through, they had a 3.29 ERA. So you see, it gets to your point. You know, I think we're going to see these pretty, you know, dramatic situations. And to close the point, you know, at a time where the third time through the rotation, so far it's been excellent. But in the last five games, the Cardinals are averaging 2.6 runs to 230, and they're 10 for 50 with runners in scoring position. So if they can ever get these two, the offense and the pitching synced at the same time, or it's not going to happen the same time all the time, but if they can get it synced more often, then I think it'll be reflected in a better one-loss record.
I'm going to have way less patience this year than ever because I just want to see young players succeed. I think that's the whole point of this season. I just don't want to sit here on the air every day, Bernie, and mislead people and say the Cardinals are a game and a half out of first in the NL Central. Like, when in my heart, I don't believe that they are going to be a world champion. I think that, you know, if everything is lucky and comes together and everybody takes off, then they have a chance to really make some noise in the division. But otherwise, I really just want to look at this season as, do we see improvement from young players? I mean, you know, a player like Miles Michaelis is what he is. You know, Contreras, you want to see better, and Arenado, I got it. But like these young players, that's how I judge 2025. And the more young players I can see, the better. But isn't this all about that?
It should be. Yeah. And, you know, if you look at the young players, the guy that has impressed all of us the most is Victor Scott II so far. I mean, he's just an entirely different hitter. He's so composed. He's so mature. He's so smart at the plate. He really worked his tail off to become better. And I'm just so happy for him. Jordan Walker is an interesting case because he's kind of tapered off a bit and he's hitting the ball on the ground a lot. I don't mind him hitting the ball on the ground, but you know, his ground ball rate right now would be the highest of his career. You know, and he's hitting a lot of topped ground balls where he just kind of pounds it into the grass. And so I'd like to see more power from him. I'm just analyzing this objectively. Jordan Walker takes much better at bats, and that's a start. But now he's got to start hitting for some hard contact. He's got to start driving the ball a little bit. Burleson, if we still consider him young, which he is, he's kind of a mixed bag as well. Like he makes great contact, but he also makes contact with pitches outside of the strike zone. And his numbers, when he does that, and he does that too often, it's one. Okay, great. He makes contact, but what does he get out of it? He gets about a 125 batting average out of it. And who else? Well, Gorman, we haven't seen enough yet. I'm impressed by what we've seen from Sejacy, certainly. And Herrera, before he got hurt, was doing great. And I got to say, Pedro Pages, and I consider him young because this is his second year in the big leagues. He's been impressive. I mean, I think his offense has improved. And I know Ollie Marmol and some others were saying, hey, don't sleep on this guy turning into a pretty good hitter. So I probably left a guy or two out of there, but I was just going to sort of going down the rundown with you to, you know, what we see so far from their core of young hitters.
Anything else you'll be watching for today and beyond with regard to the Cardinals?
Well, I tell you, yeah. And again, I'm not overreacting to things. It's the ebb and flow of the season. It's the ebb and flow of the season. But in his Nolan Arenado got off to a great start, and it was really exciting. But in his last six games, he's 2-for-21. He hasn't, he homered on opening day, and he's gone his last 45 at bats without a homer, and he's only had a couple of, like in that 2-for-21, both of those hits were singles, I believe. So I think we're all going to be watching Nolan Arenado very closely. You know, we're gonna talk about when he's hitting well, and we're also need to talk about when it's not going well, and it kind of reminds us a little bit of last year. So his bat speed's better, so I would expect better results. But he's in a bit of a downturn now, and if we talk about this offense getting better, I think Arenado's got to be in the middle of that.
Cardinals and Astros tomorrow, Tuesday, and then Wednesday day game. Then they just keep on rolling. They're going to play the Mets for four and then the Braves for three on the road. So it doesn't get any easier for the club. But, hey, this is the big leagues, and that's just the way it is. Cardinals,
Yeah, and the NL Central, again, it's way too early to look at standings. But every one of these NL Central teams, including the Cubs, they're sorting things out. There's some things that are good. There's some things that are eh. There's some things that stink. So the Cardinals are not that different from the other teams in the division.
Always great to be with you, my friend. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. We have the Gas House Gang coming up this week. Ollie Marmol joins us every Tuesday at 12:05. I love that segment. He's been very open and honest with us, and we appreciate him. So looking forward to all of that.
And you can read all my stuff and watch my videos at sportshubstl.com. Thank you, Tom.
You are a busy man, by the way. How do you keep it all straight? Are you going to hire an assistant?
I keep it all straight by getting up at about 5 a.m. every day. I do. I'm not kidding. So
you should. I'll be up. I'm on the air at 5:05. Just text me. We'll go through it.
So I got. I'm going to do a Cardinal territory with Katie Wu tonight at about 8:00. You know. So yeah. I'm keeping busy, man. It keeps my mind sharp.
I love it. I love this Bernie Miklas franchise right now. It is. It makes me very, very happy. Absolutely.
Nice of you to say, man. Thanks, it makes me happy, too. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you. With our producer, Drew Young, I'm Tom Ackerman. This has been Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Cardinal Baseball's next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.